From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. From the beautiful tropical Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of Gulf of Mexico, this is the radio program Spectrum 364, Monday, the 7th of April, 2014.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand, just dreaming, sitting.
Yes, that's what we do here in the Tampa Bay area. Woo! Got a wild Spectrum 360 here for you tonight. Yes, it's been rough, but we've got it. Another Spectrum 360 program for you. I'm your host, Mark Skogman. Can you believe it? I've survived all the way up until now. Woo!
Inconceivable!
No, it's not inconceivable. I am here. I am well, and that's just the way it goes while we're doing this program here at 11 p.m. at night. Yes, while the city sleeps, that's exactly what we're doing. Okay, also with me tonight is my co-host, Terry Weeks. Terry, say hello.
Hello. I can see Russia from my house. Hey.
Yes, I think you can.
No, I can't.
I always pull that out of her when she comes into the studio. Yes. Associate producer Terry Weeks is in the studio tonight to assist me with the program in studio, not on the telephone, in the studio. Sometimes she's in the studio.
When I'm very good, he lets me come.
Yes, and sometimes she's on the telephone, and sometimes she's out in the field gathering more content for the program. So you never know where Terry is going to be any given program. I'm always here in the studio because, of course, I have to do this, don't I? Yes. Yes, I do. And, you know, this is what I think of some of the things that I do while I'm here.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
Yes. Well, no. Some people would beg to differ with that. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, we have two focuses for you tonight. One is the environment. Two is the arts and popular culture, as we frequently do in this program. Segment one, we're going to focus on the environment. We have hot news tonight on the issue of the environment and about the specific issue of oil and gas drilling, injection wells, and fracking in the state of Florida. There's been interesting news that have developed over the last few weeks, especially last week, and even tonight. We have a special segment for you tonight. The cable television channel Al Jazeera America
which is on Bright House's channel 128. On their 9 p.m. news program tonight, America Tonight, they had a segment on the drilling controversy in the Naples area. Now, this has been a big controversy. There's been a lot of attention focused on this recently. I was at the hearings that happened on March 11th, 2014, in Naples at the Golden Gate Community Center. And I was there for both the hearings that happened that day and the pre-hearing rally, the rally by the environmentalists, and then the Department of Environmental Protection hearing, and then the Environmental Protection Agency hearing, which happened back-to-back. Both were 2 hours. We were there for 4 hours of hearings. There's been some interesting news, and the coverage of that hearing that was done by Al Jazeera on that day aired tonight. We are going to give you, broadcast for you, the audio of that segment from Al Jazeera's program, America Tonight. That just aired 2 hours ago, approximately, 9 to 10 p.m. slot. And we've got the audio of that segment that Al Jazeera broadcast. And it's actually pretty good. They did a lot of reporting down there. They were there longer than Spectrum 360 was. We were there for the day to cover the hearings, and then we left to come back and continue producing the program here. But they had reporters that they could keep in that area for another 3 to 4 days, and they gathered more information. So we're going to play that for you so that we get more information on that. And there was also major news from the Department of Environmental Protection in the state of Florida, and that is that on March 31st, the DEP Big Cypress Swamp Advisory Committee voted 4-1 to deny the exploratory oil permit threatening sensitive areas like the Big Cypress Swamp watershed and critically endangered species like the Florida panther.
And who do you think was that one vote on the other side?
I actually don't know. I haven't gotten
I
that
do
far.
Know.
You do know because you're an associate producer.
That's
who was
right,
it?
And
who
that's what it? I do. It was David Micah, the representative from the American Petroleum Institute. Surprise!
Yes, we met him down in Naples on March 11th. He's like the industry representative
yes.
on the Big Cypress Swamp Advisory Committee. And of course, you know, you would expect an industry representative, of course, to cast a pro-industry vote. So that's no surprise there. That's exactly what we would expect. But the other four members of the committee were much more open to the viewpoint of the environmentalists. And I must say, reiterate this, that at both the Department of Environmental Protection hearing and the Environmental Protection Agency hearing, there was 100% opposition to having any kind of drilling, whether it's fracking or injection wells or oil and gas drilling, even in the conventional sense.
That was really interesting, and I think I mentioned on a previous show that I'd spoken to Frank Jacqueline from the Sierra Club, and he said he has never attended a public hearing where there wasn't at least one speaker in favor of what was going on, but there weren't any at this hearing. They were all opposed.
Yes, so that was a very interesting development. We really actually were very interested in that because it was 100% opposition. There wasn't one single person in either of those hearings, and those hearings, both all together, actually lasted for 4 hours. Now, that's a long time to be there and have zero comments for, 100% comments against. Very unusual. Even people that have gone to a lot of government hearings think that was very unusual. So we're going to play the audio of that segment on the Naples drilling controversy that aired tonight on America Tonight on Al Jazeera. Okay? Okay.
It's...
Air's dying. Water's dying. The people's getting sick. Wake up before you kill the fall creation of God's gift. Thank you.
One by one, they stepped up to the microphone to voice their fears and tell their stories.
My brother died last year at 51. My sister died the year before at 50. I'm 49 years old. And I just got out of the hospital with a lung removed. I don't want my kids to die like my family did. Get them out.
So it went for more than 4 hours at a recent hearing of state and federal officials in southwest Florida. The reason for their anger, a plan to drill for oil next to the Everglades wilderness.
What do we want?
Clean water!
When do we want it?
Now!
Southwest Florida has become the latest battleground in the search for oil. New techniques are making it possible to drill in areas where it was once difficult. But many say the resulting wastewater will be toxic.
I just hope people realize this is about clean water.
Among those in the crowd, Pamela and Jaime Duran. They live little more than a stone's throw from one of the proposed oil wells.
That's Ground Zero is down there, and it's 1,000 feet to where it is.
And so this is it. You'll be able to see this pretty clear, huh? So the well would be right about there?
The well would be in line with that tree, about, I say about 400, the beginning of the path would be about 400 feet from here. This is part of the watershed that feeds the Everglades.
Jaime is a retired engineer, Pamela, an artist. They live in a setting that can only be described as fairy tale.
It's the little piece of paradise. We thought this was a healthy way to retire.
You call it a little piece of paradise.
A little piece of paradise, yes. Yeah. There are no noises here. You don't hear anything at night. You hear crickets. And that's about as loud as it gets at night.
If an oil well does go in next door, it'll mean noise, dust, and dozens of trucks passing the Duran's home each day. But there's one thing that worries them most. As part of the drilling, millions of gallons of wastewater, laced with chemicals, will be injected back into the ground. They fear it'll poison their water supply.
If there's a spill, it will eventually get to this water well.
And this is water you cook with?
We cook with.
You drink?
I drink.
You bathe in?
Yes.
You feel pretty confident right now the water is good.
The water is good.
Yeah.
If the well goes through.
If the well goes through, there's a possibility that that this water may be tainted.
But they say that the injection process will not taint your well.
It's tainted others.
It's tainted others. It's tainted water in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in New York.
The Durans, along with several friends, have gotten together to fight the proposed oil wells. They recently held a beachfront rally at the governor's vacation home, and they've turned their front yard into a giant billboard.
We're worried about the three-month-old next door.
Yeah.
You know, if the water's contaminated and you bathe a baby in that kind of water, what's going to happen 5 years down the road for this child?
Mm-hmm.
We need clean water, clean air. It's not political. It's a human rights issue. Everybody deserves it.
It's not just humans the Durans worry about. The oil well next to them would also be less than a mile from the Florida Panther National Wildlife Refuge. The refuge and the area surrounding it is the last sanctuary for these endangered animals.
There's days I've been out here doing research where colleagues and I, we've seen female mother panther with her two offspring and then 10-foot alligators sitting right near there.
Ian Bartoszak is a biologist for the Conservancy of Southwest Florida, a local environmental group. He took us to one place the panthers roam, a place where cameras are rarely allowed.
Right now, we're just down the street from one of the proposed well sites, and oddly enough, the government is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to restore the Everglades. This used to be a housing development, and now it's being given back to nature.
Southern Golden Gate Estates was going to be the largest subdivision in America, home to 500,000 people. But when the development failed, some of those nearly extinct panthers moved in. The government has deemed this land, more than 50,000 acres adjacent to the panther refuge, as vital to the survival of the Everglades ecosystem. Its animals and plants depend on clean water. An oil well accident just to the north could be disastrous.
Let's say upstream from here, there was some sort of a chemical spill or industrial accident, and it got into the water up there. Would that affect this area as well, biologically speaking?
So if that water is moving and there was a major disturbance, quite likely that would have implications downstream. This is a pretty special place.
The current search for oil isn't the first time this land has seen a rush to exploit its natural resources.
Yeah, let's head up
there.
This is an amazing spot and an amazing organism.
What's it called? What's its technical name?
This is a bald cypress, and it's an old-growth cypress tree. It's probably been here for 500 years. This forest used to be dominated by trees of this size, and the logging element that came through here removed 99.9% of these trees here, and the few that we ever find scattered are way out in the swamp strands, and they're mostly they're hollow like this one.
Now it's oil, not lumber, that's attracting industry to this unique landscape. But what a lot of people don't know, not even in Florida, is that there's already oil drilling going on in the greater Everglades. This area isn't open to the public. The National Park Service gave us a special tour.
Inbound, marker six.
About 25 miles from the newly proposed wells, several existing wells pump away day and night. They're located deep in the heart of the Big Cypress National Preserve.
And so they have drilling operations taking part here on National Park Service territory, I guess.
Yes.
And how many oil wells are here right now?
Approximately 7-8.
Don Hargrove oversees oil and gas operations inside Big Cypress. The new wells will use some of the same technology as these, including injecting wastewater into the ground.
If you were to see dozens of more operations like this scattered throughout the greater Everglades area, could that ecosystem handle that?
It depends on them operating and how responsible they are. It really does.
Overall, how do you feel this operation is running?
I think they've done a very good job over the years.
There's no telling if the company drilling the new wells would have the same approach. And there have been reports of leaks at some injection sites across the United States. But here, the Park Service regularly tests the water and says it has never seen any evidence of contamination. Hargrove says, at the worst, these wells are a short-term eyesore.
In your experience, have there been any environmental problems related to the oil drilling here so far in Florida?
Well, any impact on the surface, any pad that's constructed, anything, you can consider that as an impact. However, they're usually temporary. They're not there forever. They're removed and restored at some point.
Believe it or not, less than 40 years ago, this used to be the site of an oil drilling operation. All the equipment has been removed and it's been turned back to nature. Some say this is proof that oil drilling can be done in an environmentally responsible manner. Others say it should have always looked like this.
You may wonder why drilling is even allowed on national parkland. Well, the rights to the oil under much of Big Cypress and to some 800,000 acres across southwest Florida belong to descendants of Baron Collier, once the largest landowner in the state. The Collier companies are behind the new plans to drill.
We left several messages with Collier companies, but they went unanswered. So we came here to their headquarters in Naples, and I tracked down a company spokeswoman. She said they have no comment. In previous statements to residents, Collier says that the proposed oil wells will be safe.
The Florida Department of Environmental Protection agrees. In a statement, they told us that the wells meet its requirements, designed to protect freshwater aquifers. As for the panthers, it says the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which runs the Panther Refuge, didn't have any objections to the proposed drilling. The Durans aren't buying it. They don't believe the thirst for oil justifies risking their slice of paradise. The well slated for the field next to their house still has at least one significant hurdle to clear, getting a permit from the federal EPA. If that happens, the Durans aren't sure what they'll do. They've already talked about moving.
People get upset when the rainforest goes, but we're letting the Everglades go. This is a special place. Would they let oil drilling and at the Grand Canyon? Where are we going to stop? You know, is there anything sacred?
And those against the oil drilling just got a minor victory. A state advisory group looked over all the facts, heard some testimony, and came out against it. Now, the opinion doesn't hold any legal weight, but it is giving environmentalists just a little bit of momentum when so far everything else has gotten a green light when it comes to the projects.
You know, Adam, I think anybody would be struck by this. Who even thought that there was this sort of work going on? How widespread is this oil drilling?
Well, it's really interesting. A lot of Floridians didn't know that it was happening in parts of the greater Everglades for decades now, but now there is more interest being shown by a number of different companies coming in there. They're exploring, they're asking for permits, more than a couple of dozen different locations in some parts of that area. A lot of renewed interest right now because people are seeing there's the possibility to make a lot of money there.
So new technologies are involved. It sounded a little bit like fracking with the natural gas. Is this the same thing?
Yeah, it sounds like fracking. In fact, some of the groups are saying no fracking. This is not fracking. They use completely different technology. There is one common thread, though, with fracking, and that is the injection of some chemicals into the ground. And that what has a lot of these groups very worried, especially with Florida, because the ground there is so much different. And tomorrow night, I'm going to have part two of my report on the Everglades oil war. We're going to sit down with Jennifer Hecker of the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. That is one of the state's largest and most respected environmental groups.
There are special laws for oil and gas wastewater where even if it's the same chemicals that would normally be classified as hazardous, they're considered non-hazardous if they're associated with oil and gas activity.
So we talk a lot more about the environmental concerns, a lot more about these chemicals. My full interview is coming up Tuesday on America Tonight.
We'll look forward to that. Adam May, thanks very much.
What do we demand?
Clean water!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we demand?
Clean water!
When do we want it?
Now!
Okay.
Okay, that was audio from the Tuesday, March 11th rally in Tallahassee for the Clean Water Declaration campaign. I was there for that great event and saw many, many great speakers that day. And we've also had audio in this program. I just misspoke. I wanted to say that the rally in Tallahassee was actually on Tuesday, the 18th of February. And then the rally in Naples was on Tuesday, the 11th of March, which was also Election Day here in Pinellas County. Now, I was at both of those events. There was a lot of great things that were going on. It was excellent. And I'm glad to see that we're taking the right action to protect water resources here in the state of Florida. Terry, what's your perspective on this in terms of water? Now, you were a former interim director of the Clearwater Marine Aquarium.
Yes.
And you're a long-term environmentalist. You're also chair of the local Sierra Club here at times.
Well, I'm past chair of the local Sierra Club.
Exactly. Yes. You're past chair. So you've got a perspective on this that even I don't have. And what's your perspective on what's happening here with the water and with these events and with the DEP decision?
Huh. Well, that's a big question. Water is probably the biggest environmental issue in Florida right now. Florida waters are in big trouble. Our springs, which used to be the jewels of Florida, clear and beautiful, are now choked with algae as a result of pollution, largely from nitrogen-containing fertilizers that run off. The Indian River Lagoon, which was a tremendously biodiverse ecosystem over on the East Coast, is polluted with, we don't even know what all, but dolphins, manatees, turtles are dying there as a result of contamination from various sources. Minimum flow, we're sucking more and more water out of the aquifer. And that is a finite resource. In fact, one of the things that really disturbed me about this drilling proposal is they talked about using 5 million gallons of water per month.
Yes, I wonder if that's actually an appropriate comment in terms of the sustainability for the amount of water that's going to be used just in the process of getting this 5 million gallons.
We haven't got it, frankly. I mean, the people down there said we're under watering restrictions now. We can't even water our lawns. Where are we going to get the water to use for this drilling operation? And once
exactly.
that water is used, it's gone forever. It's so contaminated, it's completely taken out of the water cycle.
That is exactly the case. That would be my point. So, yes, I think it's really important what's going on, and I'm glad we're making progress. That Al Jazeera America Tonight segment, that was great. That was great reporting. I wanted to play that because it is such a new segment. It was just actually aired tonight for the first time. There's no information actually if it's going to be posted on the Al Jazeera website. You could actually even see it again. So they were encouraging people to see it. And there were people that gathered for a watch party down in Naples tonight at 9 p.m. when the Al Jazeera America Tonight segment did air. So local residents are very aware of it. They're watching it, and they're cheering on the reporting, which really was actually very balanced. And
Tried to be. They couldn't contact anyone from the Collier.
Well, no, they did try to contact.
They called
several times. They actually went to their headquarters, and a spokesperson was finally forced to speak to them, and they said they have no comment. So
I wanted to mention
they were definitely included in the story, and they were given very ample opportunity to
make
a comment.
Oh, yes, they were given ample opportunity to comment. I wanted to mention, too, the voice that you heard at the very beginning of that segment was Bobby C. Billy. He was a representative from the Seminole Nation. Several representatives from the Seminole Nation showed up at that hearing. And Bobby C. Billy, he was the one that was saying, "Wake up, America, before we destroy all of creation." He testified very eloquently, both at the state and the federal hearings about this. It was an amazingly diverse group of people, young people, old people, all kinds of people turning out to oppose this. And that's one of the encouraging things. People in Florida are really starting to get it. That yes. Our environment is precious, and we need to start drawing the line.
Especially the last few weeks, there's been, you know, large rallies all across the state. There's been a lot of action taken. And the rally that was before the hearings in Naples on Tuesday, 11 March, that attracted environmentalists and pro-environment people from all across the state, not just the local area, not even just the west coast of Florida, all across the state, from the south, east, west, north, all over. They were there. There were approximately 275 people at the Environmental Protection Agency hearing and about 225 at the Department of Environmental Protection hearing. So there were hundreds of people there. There was a rally before. So we're taking strong action on protecting Florida's waters, and I'm glad to see that that is what's happening in the state of Florida.
Now, what happened? He mentioned a little bit about it.
Go ahead, Terry.
Mentioned a little bit that the state, what happened at the state hearing, the Big Cypress Committee, the permit for the drilling already had been granted by the Department of Environmental Protection, even though there wasn't a lot of opportunity for public input on that. They're now encouraging them to reconsider that permit. And the recommendation from the Big Cypress Committee that the permit be denied is a strong argument in their favor that the permit should be reconsidered. So they're happy about it.
Okay, we're going to break for network news and commercial messages. Spectrum 360 will return in 5 minutes. So stay with us. Woo.
NBC News Radio, I'm Molly Page. Search crews will be sending a submarine into the Indian Ocean to check to see if sounds heard on the surface are from the black boxes of the missing jetliner. NBC's Tom Costello has more.
If they have heard the actual pingers from the plane's flight data and cockpit voice recorder, experts say it could take several weeks to pinpoint the black boxes. Then a submersible robot with claws would be used for the retrieval. In a best-case scenario, the entire process could take at least a month and maybe even longer.
A bill extending long-term unemployment benefits is headed to the House. The Senate passed the bill today, 5938. Michigan Democrat Carl Levin on what's next.
It is now up to Speaker Boehner to respond to the will of the American people, who understand that people who are unemployed don't want to be unemployed. Oh, there may be a few exceptions and a few stories.
Stocks lost ground on Wall Street today. The Dow fell 167 points. This is NBC News Radio.
I love you, son. So it hurts when you say I hate you. I'm your mother. I'm tired of you disrespecting me when you don't get your way. I work hard to make sure you have everything you need. I should be able to ask you to get out of bed in the morning without a fight. So from now on, things are going to be different. I ordered the Total Transformation Program. We're not going to scream and fight anymore. I'm going to tell you what to do in a different way, and you're going to do it. You're not going to call me ugly names anymore. And if you do, you're going to get consequences that'll keep you from calling me ugly names. We're not going to do things your way anymore, son. We're going to do things the Total Transformation way.
Get the Total Transformation free. Just order the program, tell us how it works for you, and you can keep it for free. Call 1-800-270-7613. 1-800-270-7613. Call now. 1-800-270-7613.
Here is a special announcement from Jewelry Buyers International.
We buy gold, diamonds, silver coins, platinum, military items, estate jewelry, watches, sterling silver, old paper money, high school rings, and more. Everyone claims to pay higher, but Jewelry Buyers International actually does pay higher. Licensed for over 30 years, A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, and a member of Angie's List. Conveniently located for 10 years at 5316 U.S. Highway 19, Newport Richey, in the Quality Inn and Suites. And best of all, Jewelry Buyers International now makes house calls in East Pasco, Zephyr Hills, Dade City, Wesley Chapel, and the greater Tampa Bay area. Open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. On the web at jewelrybuyersinternational.net. For an appointment, call 813-763-1633. That's 813-763-1633.
Jewelry Buyers International.
813-763-1633. If you're feeling hungry, you gotta go to Joe's.
Joe's Deli and Grill, located at 1710 North Hercules Avenue in Clearwater. Call and place your order there today, 727-466-0502. Check them out on the web at joesdeliandgrill.com. Eat in, take out, delivery. It's joesdeliandgrill.com. 1710 North Hercules Avenue in Clearwater. 727-466-0502. 727-466-0502.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
The Buddy Verdi Show is always discovering new talent, like Monday Night Football commentator John Gruden's 17-year-old son, Michael.
Your son's going to compose a new Monday Night Football theme? Is that true?
He's going to try. That's why we sent him down there to meet Buddy. Maybe Buddy can point him in the right direction, get us some good advice. This is John Gruden of Monday Night Football and my son, Michael, and we're listening to The Buddy Verdi Show, and we love it.
That's The Buddy Verdi Show, Saturday afternoon from 1 until 3, here on Tantalk.
This is John Austin, the host of Tantalks The Book Club, a program that spotlights undiscovered authors and their books. If you are a published author and feel that your book has not had the exposure it deserves and you would like to be considered for a guest spot in the book club, email your name, the title of your book, along with a brief synopsis of the book to bookclub1340@gmail.com. Be sure to include your contact information. And
be sure and join me, John Austin, on The Book Club every Tuesday morning at 10 on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 7th of April, 2014. I'm your host, Mark Skogman.
You bloated idiot!
Well, I have a different opinion of myself. You just never know what people are going to say. Anyway, remember to listen to the podcast. Go to www.tantalk1340.com. Go to podcasts and then go to Spectrum 360. Click on the show of your choice. There are a lot of programs there. After tonight, we will have 32 Spectrum 360 programs. This program actually started in September of 2013. So we have 32 programs for you to choose from. There's a lot of content in those programs. We're proud of it, and we hope that you continue to listen to the podcast like many people are. Also, remember to go to Facebook and search for Spectrum 360 Radio Program and like us on Facebook. Click the like button. Please do that. We love it when you do those likes. Now, our station control room engineer is Cedric Harris, and I'd like to play a brief song. I want to dedicate it to Cedric because he does such a great job engineering this show. So I'm trying to butter him up a little bit. He's laughing back in the control room. So this brief song is for Cedric.
Wind up working in a gas station. 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 Pumping the gas every night. Gas every night. Wind up working in a gas station.
Okay, we actually hope that that does not happen to him. You know how it is.
You're trying to butter him up. I'm not sure that was the way to do it.
Well, you know, well, we like to use him, you know, for a little bit of humor, too. I mean, he likes it. He loves Frank Zappa, and I love that song. I've always thought that was the most hilarious song. So there we had a little bit of fun. Okay, we're going to go to music for a moment here. In honor of everything that's going on, we're going to play I Need to Wake Up by Melissa Etheridge so that we can get a flavor for what's happening here and kind of honor it. And this is a great song. I believe it was actually nominated for an Emmy way back when, in 2006 when it was released. And it's a great song. It just reminds us of what we need to be doing.
And the people of Florida are waking up.
Yes, exactly. So this is I Need to Wake Up, Melissa Etheridge.
Have I been sleeping? I've been so still, afraid of crumbling. Have I been careless? Dismissing all the distant rumblings. Take me where I am supposed to be, to comprehend the things that I can't see. 'Cause I need to move, I need to wake up, I need to change, I need to shake up, I need to speak out. Something's got to break up. I've been asleep and I need to wake up now. And as a child I danced like it was 1999. My dreams were wild. The promise of this new world would be mine. Now I am throwing off the carelessness of youth to listen to an inconvenient truth.
That was a great song, and I now have some breaking news for you. The NCAA championship game just ended, about 40 minutes ago, basketball. I know Mark really doesn't care about this, but I'm a college basketball fan.
Well, I don't care about basketball. I just don't have time to watch it. That's
all. That's true. I'm a college basketball fan, and in case you're wondering who the national champion is, UConn over Kentucky, 60-54. So congratulations to the Huskies.
Yes. Woo.
They did beat my Michigan Wolverines, so I was kind of hoping they would at least then go on and win the whole thing. So good job.
Yes, excellent. Now back to the environment.
Back to the environment. Another story that came up in the paper, the Tampa Bay Times this week. They were kicking around the idea of having a ballot initiative on the ballot to see if people wanted to vote for tax credits and tax incentives for solar energy. And many of us thought that would be a great idea. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen because Representative Workman has killed that initiative. That will not be on the ballot. He does not think we should have tax credits for solar energy. He says that maybe in sometime in the future, the solar industry will be competitive, but right now is just not the time, and he doesn't think that's appropriate. Of course, the oil and gas industry has received tremendous subsidies from the federal government. If they did not, we would probably be paying about $10 a gallon, at least for gas. The reason our energy is cheap is because fossil fuels are heavily subsidized. But I guess we don't want to subsidize cleaner energy that would have less impact on the environment. And I just wanted to say that I'm very glad that the utility companies got what they paid for in Representative Workman.
Okay, very good, Terry. I really appreciate that. Excellent analysis. Yeah, I really appreciate the fact that we have, as an associate producer of this program, we do so much environmental coverage on this program, and here we have a woman who's been a past director of the local Sierra Club and also worked for approximately 10 years at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. That's quite a background to bring to environmental issues, and I really appreciate that. That is so cool.
Thank you. I also am on the committee advisory committee for the Tampa Bay Estuary Program and represent Sierra Club on the Agency on Bay Management. So I am very passionate about these kinds of issues, and anytime I can get on here to talk about them,
yes,
I will jump at the opportunity.
Very good. Remember, this is Spectrum 360 that you're listening to. Okay, it hasn't killed us yet. We're still here. Radio still exists, even though there's video. It's just like, remember, film started in, you know, about 100 years ago, and it didn't stop, you know, live theater from being appreciated and performed. They exist side by side. So radio is going to continue to be here along with all the other media as well. Yes, that's what we want. We want a diversity in media. We want a lot of content, and we want a lot of choice out there. And that's what we've got. Now, we want to also cover an arts and cultural event, as promised. And I had to say that myself and associate producer Terry Weeks, yesterday on Sunday, it seems like a long time ago already.
Was it only yesterday?
It was only yesterday. Wow. We went to the Renaissance Festival for the very last day, the last 2 hours of the last day of the last weekend of the festival. We finally made it this year. And I wanted to just say that it's a great event. It's wonderful. I recommend people go. It's a lot of fun. It's interesting. We just had a great time there. We were only there for a couple hours, but we had a lot of fun. And we have some audio of some of the video that I recorded yesterday at the Renaissance Festival. Now, this video that we're going to play, it uses the word crack frequently, and I want to just preface the video by saying that crack is a word that means basically in the Irish, old Irish language, it means fun. So it doesn't mean a form of cocaine. It doesn't mean other things that you can associate with the word crack. He's just talking about having fun, okay? And this is Danny from Druid Roots. Danny plays a lot of old period instruments. I don't even remember exactly what the names of them are.
He's a tremendous musician.
Yeah, he's a tremendous musician. He plays a lot of old stringed and wind instruments as well. This instrument that's larger than bagpipe, but very similar. And I believe he also plays bagpipe as well and flute. He's a great musician. And he was at the Renaissance Festival yesterday. We saw him with Druid Roots when they played approximately a year and a half ago at Sacred Lands in St. Petersburg, and they were great.
They do play around the Tampa Bay area, so if you get an opportunity and you like Celtic music, Celtic fusion, definitely check out Druid Roots.
Oh, yeah, they are absolutely great. It's really a lot of fun. So I want to get this the audio of this video up so you can get a flavor of what happened yesterday, because it was quite a lot of fun.
Now, this is a side project of Danny's known as The Crake.
Oh, my mistake. Excuse me. I could play the right file. It might happen. Here we go.
I've got an important question to ask all of you. Have you had good crack?
Yes, we've had good crack.
Itchy crack.
Come on, man.
Itchy crack. I'm itching for the crack, I see.
It does appear that some of you do not know what the crack means. Perhaps you're thinking about a large man bending over in front of you. Perhaps you're thinking about downtown Ybor City. Definitely not that. No, the kind of crack we're talking about, the kind of crack that we're named after, is an old Irish word that means having a good time! One up on stage here, but this is a special dance of the fairies. It's a dance that starts off very, very slowly, but then gets faster and faster and faster as it goes along. Now, if you dance the dance of the fairies, be very, very careful, because you never know when you'll be pushed out. It might be in 100 years. So be mindful of the fairy dance. It's a song, an old tune, played on the old pipe, and it's called Thank you.
right. That was a performance by Danny from Druid Roots at the Renaissance Festival. Believe me, it's visually spectacular. They've got these one bagpipes and then this much larger instrument that's similar to bagpipes. I don't remember what the name of it is, but it's very interesting. It's like a huge, like a bass bagpipe or something. And then they've got djembes and other drums, and they just work up a storm on the stage, and they're dancing at the same time. So it's really spectacular. It's a lot of fun to go out there. Wow.
We did have good crack at the Renaissance Festival.
Yes, yes, yes. We definitely did.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
Yeah, it was a great time. And it's wonderful to go. So they're done for this year, but next year there will be another Renaissance Festival. I recommend it. It's a great time. And we even saw jousting at the Renaissance
Festival. On horseback with real horses.
Real horses, real people, real armor. And they go out and joust. Now, I think they do some things to make sure that's much safer than, the medieval jousting. But they still do it. And there was all kinds of performances, great food, and all these people in period costumes just all over the place using their, period dialects and stuff. So it's quite a trip. You really get immersed in the Renaissance. It's an awful lot of fun. So I do suggest that you do go because it's a great time. Okay, we want to switch gears for the last few minutes of the program here. The film Cesar Chavez is still in theaters, and my information is that it's going to close this coming Thursday of this week, in 3 days. So while it's still in theaters, and it's only in a couple of theaters here in the Tampa Bay area, please take advantage of the opportunity to see this film and go see it. If you're involved or interested in peace and social justice and workplace justice and fair wages especially for immigrant workers and agricultural workers and farm workers, such as the people that are involved in the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, you should go see this film and then support those people in their causes. There's a lot of work that's being done right now on this, and I just want to review the film one more time for you and encourage you to go see Cesar Chavez, the film.
The day you came into this world, I received the clarity that I so desperately needed. And I hope that one day you can be as proud of me as I am of you.
Interesting day you choose to be late.
I come here out of respect for one of the heroic figures of our time.
I was born in Yuma, Arizona, a ranch owned by my family, but we lost it in the Depression. That's where I witnessed the injustice suffered by the people.
To be successful, we have to have an army of boycotters willing to do the hard work. The bigger the army, the bigger the success.
Farm workers in Delano, California, have begun an unprecedented strike in the Central Valley.
The citizens of Delano, they respect the law.
So do we, especially the Bill of Rights.
Seen the headlines they're getting. That's costing us real money, Mr. Bogdanovich.
We don't have to negotiate. We have to dictate terms.
Caesar, they will shoot.
We're gonna break this damn strike.
It's all lies. They're saying the strike is not legal. They're painting us to look like criminals.
I failed you as a leader, and I will fast until everyone makes a pledge recommitting themselves to nonviolence.
Does he know what he's doing to you?
No, he doesn't.
They've been coming in bigger numbers ever since Chavez quit eating. How long can a man go without food? It depends on the man, John. Everything depends on the man.
Once social change begins, it can't be reversed. You can't humiliate someone who has pride. And you can't oppress someone who's not afraid anymore.
Preview of the film Cesar Chavez, and also you heard audio from the sing-along solidarity sing-along demonstrations that happen every single weekday in the capital of Wisconsin in Madison. Okay, tomorrow I am going to Tallahassee, to our capital here in the state of Florida. Tomorrow there's going to be a demonstration in Tallahassee. It's going to be either the first or second Moral Tuesday demonstration, which is taking its lead from the Moral Mondays demonstration that's been happening in the Carolinas, protesting what's happening with the state budgets and how things are going and how bad that the problems are getting in terms of state budgets. So I will be going to Tallahassee tomorrow. We'll be reporting this on the next Spectrum 360. So we're going to be doing a lot of good reporting there. So I will report back. And Terry, there's another event we want to mention as well.
Yes, we do. On this Saturday, April 12th at 7 p.m., from Slavery to Freedom, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, the Florida Holocaust Museum, in partnership with the Leif Neeson Social Justice Lecture Series of Temple Beth-El.
Yes.
The Coalition of Immokalee Workers is an internationally recognized worker-based human rights organization, and its anti-slavery campaign has uncovered and assisted in the prosecution of numerous farm slavery operations across the southeastern U.S., helping liberate over 1,200 workers held against their will. They're going to be talking about it this Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Florida Holocaust Museum. That is at 55 5th Street South in St. Petersburg. It's going to be a great event, and I would encourage everyone to attend.
Yes, excellent. Listen next week for another Spectrum 360, okay? We'll have more good content for you then.
Ladies.
Good night. Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skokman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.